Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
And I'm not Pastor John. He was speaking at a church, actually, in Dallas, I think it was, somewhere. He's somewhere. He'll be back this weekend, okay? We've told him he can't miss any weekends from now till, I think it was like 2017, something like that. But anyway, he'll be back this weekend, but he was speaking at a conference, a significant church conference, I'm pretty sure it was, which is a ministry that's really designed to help churches, to help churches that are either just getting started or churches that are smaller and smaller communities or whatever. And the whole conference really is geared toward really helping equip those pastors to reach their communities for Jesus. And so he's been involved in that for a number of years now. So that's where he's been. And I think he flies back tonight, actually. And but he'll be here this weekend. Cannot encourage you enough to be here this weekend. If by chance you missed this past weekend, can't encourage you enough to listen to the message. Again, you can do it completely free online. lifeofvictory.com, just go to the sermon media. It'll be right there. The notes will be right there. The videos from the weekend will be right there on the Blessed Life part. And he's going to continue that this weekend, ministering along the lines of the Blessed Life. And we're actually going to kind of stay with that theme tonight as well from a little bit of a different approach. But, you know, on a weekend, Pastor John only has so much time. We have just about 10 minutes longer on a Wednesday. So we're going to throw about 75 scriptures at you real fast. All right? And so we're just going to touch on it from a different way. But I really, really, really encourage you. Be here this weekend. Really encourage those that you know. It's a perfect opportunity to invite people to come. Because I tell you what, it's kind of sad that you actually have to convince people that God's good. That's kind of sad, isn't it? But especially in our culture today, with all the stuff that you hear about everything from money and the economics of today and all this other kind of stuff, and people get so culturalized, maybe I'll phrase it. I don't even know that's a word, but I just made it up, right? They get so attuned to the culture of the day, we actually start thinking, if we're not careful, we'll start thinking that money's bad and that believers shouldn't have anything and God would never bless his people and all this. And now again, Pastor John started that this past weekend, went through a number of scriptures, and that we're actually going to focus on that a little bit tonight as well, because we really are going to go through a lot of scriptures real fast. But the whole purpose of it is to continue to emphasize to us as believers, God really actually does want to bless and prosper you as his child. And that's nothing new. And we're actually going to start in the Old Testament and go all the way to the New Testament tonight, believe it or not, in 30 minutes. So hold on, okay? And these notes will be on the website tomorrow as well, okay? Because you won't have time to write them all down, I'm sure. But the point is, it's about the blessed life. God really, really, really does want to bless his children. And the problem of today is that stuff gets relayed to us culturally today in such a negative context sometimes. Oh, those people that have money and they should do, oh, people that have money, blah, blah. I've heard people in interviews before, just the other day, talk about, well, some people shouldn't, you know, people just don't need that much money. How many of you know money actually helps? How many of you know electricity's good? Water's good? How many of you know indoor plumbing's good? Praise God for that, right? Paying for that stuff, that's good, isn't it? Because it sure beats the alternative. How many of you are old enough to remember outhouses? Believe it or not, I actually have to raise my hand for that. That's just wrong. But my grandparents lived in Moselle, Mississippi, which you have never heard of. And it's just literally a speck, even if it's on the map. I'm not sure if it's even on the map or not, but it's just a speck. It's a dot, all right? A small one. Moselle, Mississippi. I remember as a child, a hand crank water pump in their kitchen sink. I remember that. I remember, and again, this is very rural Mississippi, okay? So, I mean, I remember the outhouse. That's just wrong, okay? I also remember spending the night down there sometimes with the grandparents, and of course it's Mississippi, summertime, hot, windows are open, and of course you know, those of you that live in the country or have been to the country, you know, you turn out the lights there, baby, it's dark, you can develop film in the room, right? Which they don't even do anymore, basically, but you know what I'm talking about, it's dark, Okay, it is dark. And at that time, being younger, there were panthers in the woods. Have you ever heard a panther scream? Sounds like a woman screaming. Now, I'm a young child sleeping with my head right next to an open window in Moselle, Mississippi, out in the middle of nowhere, just knowing I'm going to die. Never slept the entire time I'm there, because you hear these animals. You hear them screaming. You hear those things. So I'm old enough to remember some of that type of stuff, the outhouses and whatever, and I have no idea why I told all that. But anyway, let's get back the blessed life. Praise God, those days are gone. Amen? I heard a comedian say one time, you know what, the only good thing about the good old days is that they left. Right? We've moved on. Praise God for microwaves, all that stuff. Amen? All right, so we're going to talk about the blessed life tonight. And we're going to approach it from, in fact, a couple years ago, I actually did a whole message about the fear of the Lord. And I took some segments of that. It's really kind of dropped in my heart over the weekend as Pastor John was going through some of the scriptures that he did. And so we're going to kind of blend some things. And I think you're going to be amazed at just how consistent God talks about blessing His people. It's ridiculous if you look at it. And you're going to see a bunch of them tonight. Okay? So we're going to start in the book of Deuteronomy. But first, let me just go through a couple things. Next slide here. Just to refresh your memory, the first couple of things are things Pastor John said this weekend. All right? I jotted them down. Believe it or not, I make myself take notes because I sit through the sermon three times. So I have to take notes all three times, okay? And no offense to anybody, but listen to anybody three times in a row. I don't want to fall asleep and fall flat out on the face on the front of everybody, right? So I make myself take notes all three services, okay? And I write down different things. Believe it or not, you know, the guy actually has some things to say occasionally. And I hope he hears that sooner or later. It's just part of the harassment, okay? All right. Blessed. Pastor John talked about this past weekend. Because again, it's kind of sad, but you actually have to talk people into thinking, or actually talk people into believing that God really does want to bless us as His children. And he gave this as a definition of being blessed. It's experiencing God in every arena of life, of my life, and doing that every day. You're experiencing God's goodness, God's grace, God's love, God's provision, His blessing every day of my life, in every arena of my life. So that means blessed in my finances, blessed in my home, blessed in my job, my career, etc. You just carry that on out, all right? He also talked about another definition that could be attached to it would be that it's a life to be envied. Believe it or not, in the Old Testament, when God is talking to the children of Israel, He's talking to Israel, and again, He made a covenant with them, and one of the common misconceptions that God was exclusive. Did you know that God has always had a path of redemption for people? Do you know what? Even in the Old Testament, people could get engrafted in. A good example is Rahab the harlot, which you can see her recorded in Scripture. She's not a Jew. Yet she receives those spies, and she's actually listed in the lineage of Jesus. Okay? So I mean she gets engrafted in. And that's in the Old Testament. God's not exclusive. God's always been about doing this. I want people. Okay? Even in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, God actually talked to the children of Israel and actually told them that part of their role was actually to provoke the nations around them to jealousy so that they would see just how good God is to His people. Isn't that wild? I would submit to you that that hasn't changed today. God's desire is that we would provoke, and this is meant in a positive way, okay, that actually we would provoke those around us to jealousy by how good God is in our lives. That they would see you living a life that brings pleasure to God, but they would also see you living a life that displays God's blessing all around you, that when they're seeing things, they go, man, how is this happening for you? And how is that for you? You ever been at work and had people ask you, how's things going? How are you able? Man, I know this is going in your life, and you always seem so happy. How are you always so happy? It would sure beat the other conversation. Man, you're just like me. That's bad, isn't it? Should be a difference between us. Not saying that we can't have struggles, not saying that we can't encounter things, but I want to encourage you with this. Our lives should be one that provokes those, and again, I mean that in a positive way, provokes them to envy. provokes them to jealousy. All right, so Pastor John touched on that this past weekend. We're going to go through and talk about the blessed life in the context of walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, you hear that phrase, the fear of the Lord, and it's very misunderstood because when you hear it, generally speaking, you will automatically think about being scared of God. We walk in the fear of the Lord. I'm afraid of God. And unfortunately, a lot of people are. They're afraid. But you know, that's not really what the fear of the Lord means. It really means reverence to God. It means you submitting to God, submission to Him. It means you trusting Him, respecting Him, honoring Him, and you in humility submitting your life to His will, to His word, to His plan, to His purpose. That's what the fear of the Lord means. So when the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, it is not talking about you being scared to death of God. Now don't get me wrong, God is an awe-inspiring God. He's still God, big G. Do you understand? And He's still a God that basically is going to show up one day and set a lot of stuff straight, correct? You can read that in the Bible. But it's good news to you and to me that as His children, that stuff's not for us. Do you understand? So my fear of the Lord is about me reverencing and honoring Him, submitting my life to Him, trusting Him, with humility, walking in His Word, walking in His promises, etc. That's what the fear of the Lord means to you and to me. And I'm going to show you from a bunch of scriptures. It's not talking about you being afraid of God. It's talking about you trusting God. It's talking about you choosing to submit your will to His. How many of you know that's a choice? God gave us a will. How many of you have kids? How many of you know they have a will? Very much so, don't they? And it gets displayed at a very early age. Okay? And man, those guys, they can manipulate the fire out of you, can't they? Can't they? Their will, I am thoroughly convinced. I know doctors try to project things and scientists and people that study human behavior, you know, they try to figure out about babies and infants and all this other kind of stuff. I am thoroughly convinced that kids are able to comprehend and know a whole lot more than what we think they can, even at a very early age. Okay? I tell you what, man, because they can flat manipulate you and do all kinds of stuff. And then, of course, they get a little older and begin to communicate, and they can really communicate stuff. No. Right? No, you need to go over there. No. They have a will, correct? Again, I can illustrate as far as just their perception at a very early age. They're not even really able to talk. I mean, our oldest, I just remember being at a well baby check. He's maybe a year old somewhere. I don't remember the exact age and stuff, but he's not much older than a year if he's even a year. We're in the doctor's office. Out of nowhere, we start hearing this real guttural type of whooping cough type of sound coming out of his mouth. He's like, he's coughing this real deep. And we're immediately like, what in the world? Both of us. To turn in and looking at him and stuff. Of course, he knows we're turning to look at him, right? So time goes by. We go into the doctor's visit, talk to the doctor. He's healthy as a horse, all this stuff. Everything's awesome, she says. And in the middle of that, as we're wrapping things up, he lets out one of these type things, you know. Of course, we're like, and she just kind of grins. The doctor kind of grins and says, y'all like that cough? We're like, well, no, man. And of course, we're thinking, what is first child? And that's the third child. How many of you know you didn't even respond, right? They're choking on a hot dog. You're like, come on, get that thing out of there, right? Okay, first child. Okay, it's totally different. And we're like, no, man, what is that? And she's just kind of grins. She says, well, he's doing it for y'all. What do you mean he's doing it for us? Well, yeah, he's realized, he knows that if he does that, he gets your attention. He knows he's getting your attention by doing that. I'm thinking, that sucker, he's manipulating me already. Don't tell me they don't know what's going on, right? So, what we're going to talk about is walking in the fear of the Lord and trusting Him and realizing that as our Heavenly Father, it's about submitting my life to Him, honoring Him with my life. And again, we're going to have to go through these scriptures fast. All right, we're going to start in the book of Deuteronomy and then we're just going to go through there. We're just going to go through one slide after another, okay? So again, these will be on the website, but I'm going to show you from beginning to end, from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Look at all the things. We're talking about a blessed life. Look at all the things that are attached to this, okay? Go to the first one, Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 3. These are the commands, decrees, regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you're about to go enter and occupy. And this is in Deuteronomy. So this is Israel is about to cross the River Jordan, and they're going to go possess what we call the Promised Land, and we call it the Promised Land because God promised it to them. Okay, so Israel is about to cross the Jordan. This is Moses talking. Now, Moses eventually, he doesn't go into the Promised Land. Joshua leads him in there, right? But this is Moses. He's actually restating the covenant to the children of Israel, okay? And he's restating these things to them. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. You and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. What does that mean? They must honor Him, respect, trust, yield to Him, in humility follow Him as long as you live. If you obey all His decrees, commands, you will enjoy a long life. How many of you know long life? That's a good one to check. That's good, right? Long life. Listen closely to Israel and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you. You will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God and your, of your ancestors promised you. Go to the next one. Another one from Deuteronomy. But He brought us out of Egypt, and us in, and let me start all over because I just butchered that sentence. Trying to read too fast. But He brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land He promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees, to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always what? Prosper. So that we would fear the Lord our God, so that I would trust Him, honor Him, reverence Him, in humility follow after Him, receive His word. If I would do those things, that I might always what? Prosper and be kept alive, as is the case this day. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us, that will be our righteousness or our salvation. Next slide. 2 Chronicles. We just jumped a long time in Israel's history, all right? But 2 Chronicles chapter 19. In Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites, priests, clan leaders in Israel to serve as judges for cases involving the Lord's regulations and for civil disputes. These were the instructions to them. You must always act in the fear of the Lord with faithfulness and an undivided heart. Act with in the fear of the Lord with faithfulness and a what? In an undivided heart. You remember in the book of James, it's told us, we're exhorted about if we lack wisdom, it says, let us come to God. But it says to do that without wavering, not being double-minded. It says that if a double mind, somebody that's torn between two opinions, so to speak, somebody that's double-minded, they're not going to receive anything from God. The fear of the Lord, acting out of the fear of the Lord is with faithfulness. In other words, I am choosing to honor Him. I am choosing with all my heart. I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm going to submit my life to Him. I'm not going to be divided in my loyalty. He is my loyalty. He's the one I'm going to submit my life to. All right, go to the next slide. Psalm 25. For the honor of your name, O Lord, forgive my many, many sins. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity and their children will inherit the land. Those that fear the Lord, what's going to happen to them? He's going to show them the path they choose. In other words, He's going to give us direction. He's going to show you the steps you need to take. They're going to live in prosperity and their children will inherit the land. Those are pretty good promises, aren't they? Go to the next slide. Psalm 33. But the Lord watches over those who fear Him, those who reverence Him, those who honor Him, those who submit to Him, those who trust in Him. He watches over them, those who rely on His unfailing love. He rescues them from death, keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help, our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. Let Your unfailing love surround us, Lord. Our hope is in You alone. Next one. Another one from Psalm, just the next chapter. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear Him. All those who do what? Fear Him. Fear the Lord. Reverence Him, etc. Taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His godly people. For those who fear Him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust or those who fear the Lord, those who honor Him will do what? Will lack no good thing. That's an awesome promise, isn't it? Talk about a blessed life. If I'll just simply submit my life to Him, already just in these handful of scriptures, look at the numbers of times it's talking about God blessing us, prospering us, protecting us, making a way for us, guiding us. All right, go to the next slide. Another one from Psalm. He has paid a full ransom for His people. He guaranteed His covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name He has. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of the beginning of true wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. All who obey His commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise Him forevermore. How many of you know we all could use more wisdom? Amen? We all could use wisdom, discretion, preserving us, keeping us, guiding us, etc. Next slide, Psalm 112. Now, Pastor John shared a few verses out of Psalm 112 over the weekend. I put the whole thing up here. We're going to read through it real quick, right? If you have not marked Psalm 112 in your Bible, you should. If you don't do anything else out of these, again, these notes will be on the website, so you can get them tomorrow. But if you forget even that, write down Psalm 112. Okay? Go home and read that, because it is an awesome psalm that God has written to you. All right? Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord. Let me ask you a question. If the fear of the Lord was being afraid of God, literally in terror, afraid of God, how much joy would be attached to that? None. So further evidence that the fear of the Lord has nothing to do with you being afraid of God. It's about you honoring Him, yielding your life to Him, reverencing Him. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. Man, that's an awesome promise. How many of you want your children to be successful? Pastor John, again, he used that as an illustration this past weekend about our children being successful. We all want our children to be successful. Every single one of them, no matter how many you have, you want them all to be successful. You're not willing that any should perish. True? You want them all to be successful. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy. What? Did that really just say that? They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Keep going. There's still more. There's more in Psalm 112. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. And 080. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. That kind of threw me off for a second. All right. You didn't have to take it down. All right. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Next slide. Again, this is all Psalm 112. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely, give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see it, be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away. Their hopes are thwarted. God wants to bless His people. Again, the whole theme of this is what? A blessed life. That's why I cannot encourage you enough. You be here this weekend as Pastor John continues this about you living a blessed life. God blesses His people. God wants us to walk in those. Again, that's just one psalm right there. But look at all the areas of our life. Again, remember, what's a blessed life? It's every area of my life being impacted by following God. Every area. My children being blessed, my home being blessed, my job, career, etc., however you want to phrase that, being blessed. Every part of my life being blessed because I serve a God that is a God of blessing. Wants to bless me, wants to prosper me, okay? Go to the next slide. Psalm 128, how joyful are those who fear the Lord. Once again, joy attached to the fear of the Lord. Because it's joyful to submit your life to God. You know why? Because God's on your side. He means me no harm, no evil, no nothing. Nothing but good. And these scriptures clearly illustrate that, all right? How joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow His ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear Him. That's pretty good. Now, I don't know how many points you're going to get by going home to your wife and saying, "Oh, thou fruitful grapevine." You're probably going to have to come up with something better than that, all right? But look at the promises that are in there, though. By joy attached to fearing and reverencing God, joyful, prosperous. How many of you know it sure is better to be joyful and prosperous than to be depressed and broke? God in Deuteronomy, this day I set before you blessing and curse, life and death. Now choose. Choose life. You know what God did right there? He gave us a multiple choice test. But how many of you remember multiple choice tests? Now, I love multiple choice tests because at least you had a shot. But God, knowing how slow we can be sometimes, even told us the answer. This day I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life. Choose life. God is a giver of life. You're going to enjoy, be fruitful, prosperous, your wife, your family, your children, blessed and prosperous. That's the blessing that fear that those that fear God, reverence Him. Go to the next slide. Proverbs 1:7. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You want to walk in true knowledge, true wisdom, wisdom that you can build your life in. Proverbs 2 talks about sound wisdom. It's wisdom that we can build our life in. Wisdom, a simple definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply God's Word to my everyday life, circumstances, and situations. That's what wisdom is. So wisdom is the ability to apply God's Word to whatever circumstances of life I encounter. That's what wisdom is. And you know, God promises you wisdom. And if you'll spend time with God, you'll be wise. He'll make you wise. He can bring common sense where maybe you might lack a little. And how many of you know we all lack common sense at different times? How many of you have ever had stupid come out of you? How many of you have been in the middle of a sentence and realized stupid is coming out of me? And you can't get it back, right? You're trying to wheel that puppy in. It's already too late. We all had those things. But I'll tell you what, God will give you wisdom that you can build your life on. And man, you know what? God's wisdom, it's something that's a foundation that's true. Jump from there and go to Matthew when Jesus relays the story about building your house on sand or on rock. What kind of foundation do you want? Because the storms come to everybody's life, correct? Storms come, but the one that's built their life on the foundation of the rock, on the wisdom of God, what is that? What's the foundation that sets that in motion? Fearing Him, reverencing Him, honoring Him, choosing to submit my life to Him. Man, that's a blessed life. That's a life that is blessed. That's a prosperous life. That's a life that allows us to go forward. And as it talks about there, possessing the land, conquering, having favor, all kinds of stuff that comes with it. And I don't have time to keep going there, but there's a lot you could talk about just from that. All right, go to the next scripture. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend or don't lean to your own understanding. It's probably how you used to hearing that phrase. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord, turn away from evil, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Woo, that's pretty good, isn't it? So don't lean to my own understanding. In other words, I can't try to figure stuff out all on my own. I want the wisdom that God's going to give me, correct? I'm not going to be wise in my own eyes, because how many of you know, man, in my own eyes, I know, man, I'm dumber than dirt. I need some help. So I need to rely upon the wisdom that God brings me, and that's a foundation that will stand. And it says, as I go from there, as I seek Him, He's going to show me what to take. He's going to show me which road to go. I'm not going to be impressed with my own wisdom. I'm going to fear Him. In other words, I'm going to honor Him, submit my life to Him, reverence Him. Look what it says. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. That's a pretty awesome promise. How many of you know healing for your body and strength for your bones is a whole lot better than getting out of bed and breaking something every day? True? Strength for my bones, strength for my body, health and wholeness for me. All right, go to the next slide. Proverbs 9, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. Woo, that's good. Sure beats subtraction. True? How many know length of days, addition of days is a whole lot better than loss of days? Correct? We want those puppies added, rather than taken away. You ever met people that were 30 and you thought they were 70? A hard life, correct? Boy, a hard life. People have them. Man, I don't know about you. I want the stuff added. Wisdom will multiply my days, add years to my life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, in other words, you reject it. You reject the fear of the Lord. You reject those things. You will be the one to suffer. Go to the next slide. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. There it is again, but the years of the wicked are cut short. Long life is a good thing. Amen? Long life. Long life. Next slide. Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. Fear the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. Those who fear the Lord live in security, peace. He will be a refuge for their children. In other words, He is their source of refuge, strength, encouragement, etc. Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. Next slide. Because I gotta keep moving here. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. By the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. By the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. By me choosing, and it is a choice, by choosing to honor Him, choosing to submit my life to Him. You know what that does? If I'm choosing to live a life that is in reverence and honor to God, you know what it helps me do? It'll help you separate yourself from things that maybe you shouldn't be involved in. It'll help you. And of course, as a New Testament believer, the Spirit of God helps us in those things. All right? Helps us in that. We are strengthened with might in our inward man. And we have the ability, you know what? You actually have the ability to walk free from evil. You have the ability to walk free from sin. God, Jesus purchased that for you. Just go read Romans 6. And I don't have time to go through it. Romans 6, the entire chapter, is about our victory over sin. And it's all through Christ Jesus. It's not in our own strength. How many of you know you can't whoop nothing on your own? You ever tried? We've all tried. I'll never eat that fifth piece of pie again. What do? You eat the sixth one. Isn't that right? For me, I tell you what, you know what? I shouldn't say I will not buy because I have bought. But I tell you what, you know what is hard for me to whoop? This sounds crazy. It's kind of stupid. But I can be, especially if there's like a game or something on, kettle fried chips, mesquite barbecue. Mesquite barbecue kettle fried. You know, they're the crunchier ones, you know, in the bag. Now, I've bought bags of those before. They don't live very long. In fact, I always start out, you know, I'm just going to eat a few. And that bag rarely makes it through a day. So you know what the best thing is? I have to keep myself away from those things. I won't go down that aisle. Okay? I won't put those things in the basket. I don't want to buy those things. Now, that's kind of a stupid one, of course, unless you eat a bag of those a day, which I could do. All right, it's kind of a crazy one. But how many of you know there's things sometimes that we allow into our life? But you know what? You have the power and the ability through Christ Jesus to lay those things aside. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. We consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. You know what? Through the fear of the Lord, I choose to honor Him and I'm going to let this go. I'm going to pursue Him. I'm going to honor Him. And I don't have time to go into that in greater detail, but we have the victory through Christ Jesus. You can walk free from sin. You don't have to let... In fact, even in Hebrews, we are told, let us lay aside the sins that so easily besets us. Look how casually it phrases that. Let's just lay aside those things that so easily trip us up. Why would we be exhorted to do that if you couldn't do it? That would be unfair, unjust, would it not? But you actually can do it. You can just lay those things aside. And the fear of the Lord is a key part of that. All right, go to the next slide. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Riches, honor, a lot of translations add riches, honor, and long life. The reward, now look at this. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord. Humility, Doug Jones was here. Man, it's been a while since he did this message, but I loved it. He was here over a weekend, and he talked about humility. And I'm sure you can find it over there at the media. Well, probably not on the, I know it wouldn't be on the carousel now, so you might have to go to the bookstore there and tell those people. But Doug Jones, on a weekend, he talked about humility. He talked about humility. Basically, it was to retire, withdraw, and to yield. I still remember that. I've got it marked all through my Bible. Every time I run across the word humility, I'll write those three words. And I still picture Doug Jones going through his little, and he could do his little thing he did, you know. I can't be Doug Jones, but he would do his little thing about retire, withdraw, and yield. And he did this little, he did it. Some of you guys remember him doing this on there? All right. It was an awesome message. So if you can get a hold of it, I encourage you to get that. Because humility, it's awesome when you think about all humility is me choosing to yield. I'm going to let my will go. Instead of being like the little kid that goes, no. But you know what? That's what some people do. We'll just go, no. We want to bow up at everything. But humility is I'm choosing to retire. My own opinions, my own ways. I'm going to withdraw from pursuing my own ways. I'm going to yield to His. The fear of the Lord is all about honoring, reverencing God, trusting God, etc. Look at the reward that comes from those two things. Most people wouldn't believe that's even in the Bible. But God wrote that for you. Jesus shed His blood so that you could have that promise. Think about that. Jesus shed His blood. Talk about a blessed life. What's the reward for those things? Riches, honor, and long life. And all those things are pretty good, are they not? Riches, honor, and long life. All right, go to the next slide. So I got to move on here. Don't envy sinners, but always continue to fear the Lord. You'll be rewarded for this. There's that word rewarded again. You'll be rewarded for this. Your hope will not be disappointed. Next slide. Finally made it to the New Testament, and I skipped a bunch of stuff. Okay? And I really did, because you could go, there's a bunch of them. All right? Acts 9:31. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and was being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. The church, the whole church, by walking in reverence, honor to God, what happened? The whole church is multiplied because they're honoring God, those people. Now, how many of you know, if the church is being multiplied, people are being drawn to Jesus, people are being born again, people are being set free, evangelism is taking place. How many of you know, that's a lot of fun. And they're having a blast. In fact, in the context here, this is impacting thousands of people's lives. Thousands of them. How many of you know, Jesus shows up, stuff changes. Just think of the change that was happening in those people's lives as a result of just simply honoring God. Next slide. Colossians 3, slaves, obey your earthly masters. Everything you do, try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you're working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will give you inheritance as your reward and that the master you're serving is Christ. Now, nobody in here is a slave today, but again, in the context of the culture that they're in back then, I mean, there's people, they're slaves. Do you understand? Through all kinds of various means. It could be as simple as they got into debt and were sold into slavery as a result of it. It could have been they're part of a conquered people and they're carried off. All kinds of different reasons, okay? So you take that into the context of today, though. How many of you know you may feel like a slave with your employer? What does the Bible tell us to do? It tells us to serve them with reverent fear. Because who am I really working for God? It tells me if I'll adopt that attitude, God's going to reward me. Do you know you can be working for the most worthless, vile pagan in the world and God will take care of you? Because there's countless illustrations of that in the Bible. One pops into my head right now. It'd be just Joseph himself. Look at Joseph's life. He's sold into slavery, working for pagans. He's thrown into prison. And everywhere he went, was he prospered? Was he prospered and brought to the head, brought to the top? Before long, he's ruling the place. It's crazy if you think about it. What is that? That's somebody who's choosing to serve God and reverence Him. And allow God's going to reward me. Okay, this person right here, now I'm not saying you should stay in that position all the time or whatever, but I'm just saying God will take care of you. No matter what you're working, if you'll honor Him and if you'll yield to Him, you'll reverence Him, God will be your rewarder. Part of that reward may be moving you on to an awesome job. Or it may be blessing and prospering you right there in the middle, and those people, the whole place gets saved because they look at you and they think, how in the world are you doing that? Because I'm a child of God. He's blessing me. Right in the midst of all this, He's blessing me. And that should be true for all of us, even in our culture today. All right? Let's go to the next slide here. Just a couple more scriptures here. And further, submit to one another out of reverence or out of the fear for Christ or fear of God. Out of the reverence of Christ. Submission. You know what? You want to change your relationships with each other and with people in your life? You choose to walk in the fear of the Lord. Submit your life to Him. Next slide. Last one here. Philippians, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases you. I reverence Him. What does God do? God actually helps me walk out my salvation. God actually helps me walk out His plan for my life. Isn't that wild if you think about it? If I'll just simply reverence Him, honor Him, He actually, by His Spirit, helps me walk in His plan and purposes for my life. God is so good to us. Now, what I did on the next two slides, all those scriptures we went through real quick, I summarized a lot of the promises that are in those slides. Okay, so we're going to read through them real quick. Look at all these things. You talk about a blessed life. I'm pretty sure you'd like to have all the things on these two slides. So you read through these here. I'll read through them. All these things were included in those scriptures we just read, real quick. Okay? And you're not going to have time to write them all down. Again, these will be up on the website tomorrow. But long life, have many children. Now, you may not want that, but bless God, it's coming. Have many children. That's for Kathy Spencer right there. All right. Always prosper grandchildren. Sorry. Okay. Always prosper. Be preserved, kept alive in troubled times. God will show you the path to take. You'll live in prosperity. Your children will have an inheritance. God will watch over you. God will rescue you. He'll keep you alive in times of famine. He'll be your help and shield. You'll be guarded, defended. You'll have all you need. You'll lack no good thing. You'll have wisdom. You'll have joy. Your children will be successful everywhere they go. You'll be wealthy. Your good deeds last forever. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Now go to the next slide. You'll be joyful and prosperous. Your wife, your spouse will flourish. Your children will be vigorous. Healing for your body, strength for your bones, wisdom, common sense, good judgment. It'll multiply your days. It'll add years to your life. You'll benefit from wisdom. Your life will be lengthened. Security. God is a refuge for your kids. It is life-giving. You'll avoid evil. Riches, honor, and long life. You are rewarded. Your church will grow strong. You receive an inheritance, a reward. God gives you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Now, all those things were included in all those scriptures we went through. I don't know about you, but that sure sounds like a blessed life to me. Amen. I tell you what I really encourage you to do, really encourage you to do, because again, I can't emphasize enough, Pastor John went through, and some of those scriptures were some of the ones that he went through on the weekend as well, all right? But he only went through parts of them. What I really encourage you to do, A, if you were not able to be here, and even if you were, go back and listen to the testimonies from this past weekend, because you talk about encouraging, they're encouraging. Listen to those testimonies. Rewatch those videos. You can do that online. Again, it's all for free. Pastor John's notes are on there. You can see those scriptures. These notes will be up. And I tell you what, God wants you to be blessed in life. Amen? God has blessing for you. Again, just in those two slides alone, which refers back to all those scriptures, man, that's a blessed life. And God has that for you. Jesus died that for to provide that for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Father, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness to us as Your children. Father, thank You that Jesus died for us, shed His blood for us, not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but that we would be literally adopted into the family of God and that we would be blessed. Thank You for the blessed life. Thank You for blessing and prospering us. Father, as Your children tonight, as we're in Your presence, thank You so much for making Your Word so real, so plain to us. That, Father God, we will recognize and understand as we submit our lives to You, yield our lives to You, Your desire is for our good always, desiring to bless us, desiring to prosper us. Father, by Your Spirit, help us to walk in the revelation and the understanding of those promises, all those precious promises of Your Word. Help us to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed just for a moment. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you hear all these promises, you hear all this about a blessed life, you say, you know what, I'm not real sure where I stand in my relationship with God. I want to encourage you, Jesus died for you. He loves you so much. He died for you to give all those things to you. And it's a gift. In fact, Jesus is referred to as a gift. All you've got to do is just receive God's gift, receive Jesus. It's a simple process. You'll do it right there at your chair, right where you're seated tonight. Very simply, all I'll ask you to do here in just a moment is raise your hand, and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. I won't single you out or embarrass you in any way. Won't have you come forward. I won't have you stand. I'm not going to bring you down front or anything. You'll pray right where you're seated. In fact, the whole church will pray the prayer out loud together with you, and Jesus will come into your heart, and you can begin to walk in those promises. All those things we went through tonight, those things can be yours. So I encourage you, don't reject God's gift. Don't reject the gift that He gave you by shedding His blood, dying for you. If you're here and you say, Pastor Steve, I want that gift. I want to receive Jesus tonight. I want that in my life. If that's you, just very quickly, right where you're seated, every head bowed, every eye closed, just simply raise your hand right where you're seated, and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody tonight? I'm only going to wait just a moment here. I'm not going to drag this out at all. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you're unsure, very quickly, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Anybody at all? I'm going to look one more time. Anybody? All right, last thing. You're here tonight. This was on my heart as well. And then Pastor John Spencer, Pastor John the Elder or whatever, PJ2, will take the offering stuff. If you're here tonight, this was on my heart just during worship and stuff. I really felt impressed about this. And that is, if you're here and either you're personally really struggling with sickness or whatever, you know, again, flu stuff, all kinds of devilish stuff's been floating around. You're struggling with sickness or in your body, or maybe it's in your family or whatever, and you want to be prayed for tonight, not going to have you come forward. All I'm going to have you simply do is just simply raise your hand right where you're seated. Anybody needs to say, that's me. Are you me or in my family, man? We're really struggling with sickness. Just raise your hand real quick. I want to pray for you, all right? Okay. Anybody else, real quick? All right, those of you that are around them, believers that are around them, real quick, raise your hand one more time. Just real quick, we're going to do this real fast. Get around those people, lay hands on them. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The Bible talks about, says that if you're sick, says we can lay hands on the sick. And the Bible says the sick do what? Recover. That's our expectation tonight. This is only going to take a second. So if that was you, real quickly, just raise your hand so somebody can come over there, lay their hands on you. All right, Father, in Jesus' name, in obedience to your word, we thank you that you are faithful and true. Your word is true. And right now, in obedience to your word, we lay hands on these, our brothers and sisters. We lay hands on them in Jesus' name. And we thank you for wholeness in their body or their family member's body in Jesus' name. If it's them personally, we thank you for complete wholeness, complete soundness from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. That from this moment forward, they are healed in Jesus' name. Father, if they're raised their hand for a family member, we thank you for complete wholeness for their member of their family. Once again, whole and sound from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. We thank you, Lord God, that you confirm your word. We thank you for complete healing for them. And we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's good, is he not?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.